The title of message 12 is The True One. But by the end of the message, I'm quite clear. You will talk about and experience about the true. Because I'll point out a verse properly transferred made in 1 John 5:20, that the true God, the true one, the Greek says, the true. And this is going to have quite a profound effect on saints all over the earth, because that is one of the most crucial and profound verses in the New Testament. But we need to walk our way through this. So we begin with point one. In 1 John 5:20, we have the crucial conclusion of the entire epistle of 1 John. And so in sections 1, 2, and 3, we'll walk through in a gentle way to have a view of what is taking place in this book. It's like you're climbing a mountain, and when we get to 5:20, we're at the peak. I remember when Brother Lee spoke on that message maybe 40 years ago. I can honestly say, no one in the Lord's recovery understood what our dear brother was saying. And it wouldn't surprise me that at the end of the message, we will all be understanding something and at the same time wondering what this whole thing really means. And that will be, you will see, a very good way to end the training, because the depths of your being will be opened more than ever before. And the Lord is waiting for you to just enter into Him, to enter into the depths of His being and know not about Him, but know Him. K.A., this epistle reveals that now we are truly one with the triune God, and He becomes true, real to us. I love this word, real, real to us. That it's not just one doctrine after another, although we begin there, but something real and true is entering into our being. And deep within, there is this yearning of all ages. Many of us who have been in the Lord's recovery for decades, really deep within, we appreciate, I've heard so many messages, read so many books, but I just wonder, how much am I actually experiencing? And so it is on the Lord's heart to just shepherd every member of the body, that between now and the time that the Lord is about ready to come, before the end of the age, to come the overcoming ones, by that time, all of us will be mature in life and will not have to go through the great tribulation in order to be made mature. He becomes reality and life to us because we are in Him. Later, this word reality will be emphasized. Reality. And I have no doubt that in the heart and in the spirit of many of you at this very moment, you've been yearning for reality. Not just one other doctrine after another. And whether it's put in words, but it's just in your heart. Lord, I'm just seeking for reality. I've heard so many things. I've learned so many things. And I'm thankful for it. It was necessary. But my whole being is just crying out the divine reality. And this is what Brother John was functioning at the end of his journey. Okay, two, we come to know the triune God by experiencing and enjoying Him. As I pointed out before, experiencing is with our spirit. Enjoying Him is mainly with our shepherd soul. The concern of the Apostle John in writing his epistles was the experience and enjoyment of the triune God. This was his concern in writing this. And every now and then he would call little children, because he was 90 plus, and this loving concern in his heart. Sometimes he would say, this one at this age, this one, but every now and then, because they were so dear, he was like a spiritual father to them, and he knew where they were and what they need to know and experience. We need to know the triune God experientially through the inner enjoyment of the subjective God. This is a delightful statement. We need to know the triune God. But how? Experientially. Through the inner enjoyment of the subjective God. Every word is necessary. True God. Experientially. Inner enjoyment. Subjective God. There's this desire in so many seeking saints that all the saints will have this sense that God is becoming subjective to more and more saints. He's not just out there, universally vast, beyond the university. But He's a subjective God dwelling in us to be everything He wants us to be. Then D, if we would know the triune God, we must be in the line of life and in the process of the growth in life. I'll pause here and read the rest in a minute or two. The process of the growth in life. I sincerely hope that everyone in this room and everyone following us on Zoom or a recorded message later, that they're in the process of growth in life. Many of us realize, not in a judgmental way, never, but just realizing this dear sister, this dear brother, been in the recovery for decades, maybe up to 50 years. We're not judging them. We have a deep concern. They haven't grown in life for the last 30 years. There are saints like this. And actually, this may sound severe, but if it could be made clear to them, that would open the way for us to proceed in the Lord more thoroughly than never before. And he will become, like I said often, a rapture-ready person. We just desire that all the saints would grow to maturity here and now. Then completing point D, the more we grow in life, the more we will be concerned with the divine Trinity. It just happens. The more you're growing in life and you're experiencing the subjective God, you have a deeper concern with the divine Trinity, because this is the burden in the Lord's heart, that all the children of God would know, experience, enjoy, and express the divine Trinity. 3, the epistles of John reveal the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So I gave you all these verses to show us you go through this epistle of John. You realize the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all here, but not in a doctrinal way. To know the Father is to know him as the source, the unique initiator, the one who plans, originates, and initiates. Everything originates with him, and everything proceeds from him. Brothers, it's a very serious matter to make a decision and do something you think for the benefit of the church where I am, but you have not been in contact with Father as the source. And the enemy knows what is the source. And the discerning saints know what is the source. It's a tremendous difference between some experienced person suggesting this, but not having a direct contact with the Father as the source. Every now and then, when a dear brother wants fellowship about marriage, like I mentioned the other time, and there's a good chance that the two of you will come together, I'm not going to say anything, but in my heart, my hope is this, that the Father is the source of your relationship. The Father is the source of your getting married. If he is not the source of any aspect of your being, then in what way is he the source of anything? That's why we need to pause every now and then, because we all have feelings, we all have thoughts, and we don't want ourselves to be the source of anything. We just pause and say, Lord, I'm just opening up to you, dear Father. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. But I'm going to let it go unless you are the source of this feeling, this leading in me. That might be in John chapter 15 and Matthew. There's a verse that says that the Father at the certain time will pick up and remove anything that has been established that he was not the source of that. So we need to have more and more realization that everything proceeds from Him. The Father is the source of the eternal God. From Him and with Him, the Son was manifested as the expression of the eternal life. For those the Father has chosen to partake of and enjoy His life. The title Father refers to the impartation of life. Through Christ's resurrection, the Father imparts His life to His children. This is a marvelous realization. The Father imparts His life into His children. B. In 1 John 1, 1 and 2, both the word of life and life denote the divine person of Christ. The Son, who was with the Father in eternity and was manifested in time through incarnation. Christ, the Son, is the eternal pre-existing one who is the word of life from the beginning. The Son of God was manifested that He might undo and destroy the works, the sinful deeds of the devil. That's a powerful verse, 1 John 3:8b. This is one aspect in His incarnation. After He was baptized and went out into the wilderness, and then Satan appeared to try to draw Him away. But that is when this kind of spiritual battle began. God sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins. No matter how much love God has for all of us, He cannot just forgive us for the sins. The cost of sin has to be dealt with. And either all of us pass away with no eternal life. But the Son of God, by incarnation, came here to die in our place and bear all the sins on His body that we can be redeemed. Just this realization, just after the Lord's table meeting, when we're having some, I hopeful, more than just hymns, we're thanking and praising the Father. Father, we just thank You for the price You paid to send Your Son for our redemption. And now we've been meeting here, enjoying Him. Now He's taking the lead to thank You and worship You. For God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might have life and live through Him. So we all have life and we're all living through Him. We're in different stages, but we're all doing this. We may not realize it, but we are. We have Him in us and He's living through us. 5. The Son of God is the means through which God gives us His eternal life. Just pause with me. Eternal life. We're going to have life, divine life, forever and ever and ever for eternity.
Amen.
When there's a new heaven and a new earth, we will be there. And just a little sidebar comment. We know from portions in Revelation that on the new earth, there will be human beings like there were in the garden before sin came in. So one day I just asked my wife, I said, if there's no death anymore, and these human beings are going to have children, is there going to be a place where they can all live? More and more will be born and never die. Of course, soon as I mention that, like I'm doing it again, there's an inward word. Stop. Pause. Wait. You'll see at the time. But I'm still curious about the thing. Okay, six. Our advocate with the Father is Jesus Christ, the righteous. When we sin, they know they did it, but as soon as we sinned, he is functioning as our advocate to tell the Father, I paid the price. I paid the price for their redemption. And then there will be the light shining, and we will confess, and they will forgive. And maybe some of us in the early stages in the Christian life, maybe you want to be thorough in repenting and asking forgiveness. And you may do the same thing over and over again. I remember I did one time early in the morning, and the Lord just paused. What are you talking about? When I forgive, I forget. How he forgets, I don't know. So he wants to save us from memories that are negative, because he has the way to clear everything from the past and have a new beginning. And so, based upon the propitiation that he accomplished, takes care of our case by interceding and pleading for us. No doubt it happened today with many of us. We just had a certain failure, did something, and right away we're convicted, and we repent and we want to have it forgiven. But the moment it happened, the one on the throne who knows everything about everyone at all the time, he said, but I died for this one. We will cause him to repent, but I want him to be forgiven, that he would continue to grow in life. What a wonderful triune God. Now, section C. The truth, the Spirit of truth in 1 John 4:6 is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of reality. Now, this word reality is not just the Spirit that makes things seem real, but they bring the reality of the things that we're learning. Two, by the Spirit whom Christ gave to us, we know that the triune God abides in us. I mean, that is the situation. But on the experiential side, when we start a new day, based upon John 15, we abide in him. Don't wait until he abides in you. Just exercise your spirit. Turn your heart. Ask the Lord to apply the power of his blood. I apply the reality of all the things that you did on the cross. And then we are in the position to abide in the triune God. Don't wait for a feeling. Exercise your spirit with your being renewed will. This is our early morning prayer. We're not waiting for feelings. Lord, we turn our heart to you. We open our being to you. Lord, for this day, dispense into us more and more as we are abiding in you. You will abide in us. Okay, next, 1 John 4, 13 and 14 reveals that we are abiding in God the Father and he in us. That God the Father has given to us of his Spirit, and that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Out of his Spirit, literally, in verse 13, implies that the Spirit of God, whom God has given to us, is bountiful and without measure. By such a bountiful, immeasurable Spirit, we know with full assurance that we and God are one. Amen. And that we abide in each other. The Lord wants us to have this full assurance. Not just hoping, but in our being, assurance. And then point C leads us to the crucial matter that I mentioned at the beginning. We know the true one and are in the true one. Now this brings us to 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given to us an understanding that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now I'm going to read it again. I want to emphasize certain words, and then I'll show you the exact Greek that will give us a more thorough understanding. But I want to go through this again to have this clear in our being. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. What a gift. All of us. You don't have to have a college training. I remember when, way back in 1971, when I moved to Detroit, according to brother's leading, and I couldn't get a teaching job. And I just went back to how I grew up. Just work. And then I just found a job, like ordinary people, just with physical labor. But during that time, there was such a realization that one day I was working with the, it was a very precious time, because 90% were Black Americans. And they had been dear to me when I was in high school. And I remember we were on this big place. He was probably in his 60s. And we were just talking to one another. You can tell he was a believer. And then he said, "You're going to have quite a future because you had education." But he meant that was high school. He left school after the third year. But I still remember this dear person. And the Lord putting me in this situation. You need to be brought down to the lowest level to have no more loving yourself and trusting yourself. And one day, I was at this machine, and about every 7 seconds, something would come rolling down. I would have to go this, on and on. And while I'm doing it, I said, "God, do you know that I'm here?" And he made it clear, "I'm here. But just keep doing this." That this is the sovereign God knows how to truly humble us. I just thank him and worship him. To just make the arrangements that will enable him to touch the depths of my being as I consecrate it to him. And also to have a genuine love for every kind of people, of every race, every nationality, all the same. And just after I had that quadruple heart surgery, and I was wide awake for 48 hours, wide awake, and the Lord was nonstop. He would just go deeper and deeper to show what had to be dealt with. And you have to respond to it, Ron, and repent for that. So he touched, he enlightened, I repented. Then what came? Love. Repent. Love. Repent. Love. Let me deal with it. Love. Just a wonderful Father God we have. So surely we want to know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now we take these words, we might know him who is true. The exact Greek is, we might know the true. That's what it says. And I checked this book. I guess you have to call it a book. It was came out last year, 2024. It's a Greek and English New Testament. And you have the Greek on top, then the words, and then you have at the bottom, and you could just see, it was there, he said, we might know the true. And so I'm standing with what is exactly in the verse. And then also, we are in the true. We know the true, we are in the true. Now we are going step by step through verse 20. And just absorb what you can. Because I can honestly say this verse is a lifelong learning verse. So we have to start somewhere, because the depths of it seems so simple, but the depths of it, at least we can open it up that we have for some of you, a delightful beginning, and others just to be encouraged with these simple words. Press on, right? Just press on. Quote, we know. We refers first to the apostles in their teaching and fellowship, and then to all the genuine believers as members of the body of Christ. So we're part of the we. Two, know. Know here refers to knowing by experiencing, enjoying, and processing the divine reality. Here's the word reality again. Not just the objective truth, but the reality. And so we have this kind of knowing by experiencing the divine reality, by enjoying the divine reality, and by possessing the divine reality. B, quote, the Son of God has come through incarnation and through death and resurrection as the Spirit to bring God to us as grace and reality, so that we may have the divine life and partake of God as love and light. Oh, stay here a minute or two, especially at the very end. The Son of God has come. How? Through incarnation and through death and resurrection as the Spirit to bring God to us as grace. I hope early this morning you asked the Lord for today's measure of grace. If you didn't remember or you hadn't heard about it, just inwardly, just ask him for grace. Today's portion of grace. And I can honestly say on behalf of the grace-giving triune God, that when you have today's measure of grace, nothing, no matter what is taking place, the grace will be sufficient for your present situation, no matter how painful or how suffering it is. The grace will always, it may be because of what's taking place in you, you may not have any feeling about it in the beginning, but you'll realize the triune God is dispensing grace into me. He knew what was happening today. And it's grace that enables us to get through anything and everything step by step. And reality brings the reality so that we may have the divine life and partake of God as love and light. Okay, God is love. God is light. And so, at this very moment, God, who is love, is dispensing love into all of us. and God is light, that he knows to what extent he should be light getting into us. The more he has ground in us, the more intense the light can be. But the outcome will be, we know from the high peak of the divine revelation, we are the same as God in life and nature, right? Well, God is love. So that means you will become love. And the Bible says God is light. And we'll become the same as God in this aspect. That is light. And love and light really know together that if there's just love, there's not a clear view. If there's only light, there's not the substance of love. And so, inwardly, I'm just asking the Lord that all of us, early tomorrow morning, you will receive tomorrow's measure of grace, and you will partake of God as love and light. This is our future. It's starting right here and right now. Every part of your being will be enlightened. Every part of your being will have the love of God saturating you. And so you don't try to love. It just flows out for anyone and everyone. Okay, see, understanding is the faculty of our mind enlightened and empowered by the spirit of reality to apprehend the divine reality in our regenerated spirit. Again, we have reality. The divine reality is in our regenerated spirit. Now, don't try to go hunting for it. To try to go way down in the core of our being. But what is in our regenerated spirit, if we're an open vessel, will just flow more and more in us. Okay, next. Know the true one. Or know him who is true. Or I could also say, based upon what I spoke earlier, know the true. And know him who is the true. The Greek word translated true means genuine, real. The opposite of false and counterfeit. Actually, the Greek word is simply the true. The true. The more I use this word, the more I enjoy it. The true. Oh, I love the true. Can you say, I love the true?
I love the truth.
See? And you said, I love the true in a truthful way. Very good. To realize this is an aspect of God who wants to make himself known through our dear brother John, who paid quite a price to be able to go through all that he did after all of his friends one by one were put to death, what he went through for the next 30 or 40 years. Maybe he'll never share it with us. But he kept us until the end. That was the nature of his journey. And that principle is still with us. There are brothers and sisters whose function are like Peter. The beginning, you open things, you break through things, you get things going. And then you have some others like Paul can develop this. And side by side, you have those who are like John, and you are one in one accord with them. You're standing with them. You're supporting them. You're not waiting for your turn and your time. But at quite a price, that time will come when the Lord will need more Johns. And he needs them, male and female, spiritual Johns who have gone through so many things. But the Lord has preserved us because our being will be a way for the Lord to flow out to saints of every situation. So actually, the Greek word is simply the true. Only our triune God is true. I'm repeating, everything and everyone else are false. The term, the true one, which is subjective, refers to God becoming subjective to us. This is of utmost importance. We're getting to know the true one, the true. And it's here, it's to be subjective. That means in your being, experientially. It refers to God becoming subjective to us. I would suggest maybe before you go to sleep, you say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. I open the totality of my being so that you can become subjective to me. I want you to be in me in an experiential way. I have to know the objective teaching. I have to. But I don't want to stop there. And I will not stop there. Because you don't want me to stop there. Lord, I want to have the true becoming, it's a process, becoming subjective to us. Now, this last section is a very important and delightful portion of the outline. In this verse, the God who is objective becomes the true one in our life and experience. The true one in our life, in our ordinary, normal human life. The true one in our life. Every aspect of our human life and experience. The true one is the divine reality. So true and reality are side by side. They're almost the same. The true one is the divine reality. And we know the divine reality by experiencing, enjoying, and possessing this reality. Experiencing, enjoying, and possessing. In other words, once you have it, it'll never leave you. It's part of you. Okay, B, the Son of God has given us an understanding so that we may experience, enjoy, and possess the true God, the divine reality. So the true God and divine reality here are one and the same. And it's we should be very thankful that God has given us understanding. No matter what kind of human education you had, if you're a child of God, you're given by God understanding. But PhD people may not understand at all. This verse indicates that God has become our reality in our experience. I want to emphasize this verse again and come back to the word reality. This verse indicates that God has become our reality. It's going to happen. God becoming our reality. Because actually, only God is reality. There's nothing reality on the earth. Human beings, whatever it is. But God has become our reality, but it will take place in our experience. So as we are experiencing the triune God in Christ as the Spirit, then the Lord is able to become our reality more and more. And there's no way to try to explain this. It's just like if in November, I'm not prophesying, you get married in November, and these brothers aren't married yet, the only way they can know what you are experiencing is them to get married. So you can tell them about it, but you can't make it happen. So that's why it's in our experience. And so our experience and the reality are just going back and forth. The more reality, more experience, more experience, more reality. And you'll, and your indwelling mingled spirit will just give you a sense that there's something more and more is expanding in you. You may not know what's taking place, but this word helps us. It's the divine reality that was objective so long is now dwelling, becoming reality. You'll just know. For the God who was once objective to us has become our subjective reality. So this statement is for all of us, every child of God. It's just when. Why not wait? Why just say, Lord, now I thank you that I know you in an objective way. But I'm asking you, become my subjective reality. A simple prayer. This is on his heart. He Like in chapter 3 of Revelation, the last of the seven to the churches, the Lord says, if I'm knocking on the door, and if you come to the door and open the door and bring me in, we'll have a meal together. But he will knock, but we open the door. And even if the door was open, he would never come in to an open door without being invited. But we have to be careful, because one subject, one action of Satan, the devil, wants to have every unsaved human being to be an open vessel. They don't know their vessel, that they are. And billions of people are being saturated with this evil spirit. Now, listen to the end of this. Because a thought may come even from within you, or a demon might be not troubling you. We can all do this. And when I learned from experienced brothers and sisters, it helped me very much. Lord, I didn't know that I was open in this way. And I don't know how much penetration there was. But now I have the strength in my will to tell him, get out of me. And they will leave. I belong to the Lord. Every part of my being is the Lord. And you will just sense you're being one after another. Many things you didn't even realize, but had been there. Now, there's just peace, even joy, but you don't stay open and empty. But we will close the door to anything negative, but we open the door of our being to the triune God. So yes, once he was objective to us, but now he is our subjective reality. Next, we are in him who is true. We are in the true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. We not only know God, we are in God. We not only have the knowledge of him, we are also in an organic union with him. Okay, some of you are hearing this for the first time. To have an organic union with him. And we just follow something in Romans chapter 11. Just like there's this kind of tree and there's this kind of tree, they're the same kind of trees. But you are a branch in that tree, but it's an ugly tree. And this one, this one is healthy, it's beautiful. So someone, this is an illustration, then someone could come who can just cut off the branch and was about to attach it to this other tree, but he had to cut a portion where this branch can be put there. And then the life that's in this tree will flow through you. Now, what has happened to all of us is that we were a branch on a fallen tree of death and so many negative things. But the Lord Jesus came for our redemption. and through his death and resurrection, because we were chosen by God as revealed in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, we were cut off from that evil source. And then we were put union with this other tree, all of us. And maybe this is the first time you heard this. There's going to be a different sense in your being. You're no longer on that tree of sin and death. You're on the tree of life. You're on the tree of the all-inclusive Christ. And now you are an open vessel. And the Lord, in his way, in his time, will flow into you. Like in John 15, we are abiding in him. We're the branch, but everything is in the vine. The all-inclusive Christ is in the vine. But now we've been attached to him and we're open to him. And there will be what we call dispensing. I learned that from Brother Nee, of course, but not just in the doctrinal way, in the experiential way. Lord, I just need today's measure of mercy. I have to begin every day with mercy. But then mercy has opened the way for grace. And Lord, I want to be an open vessel for today's dispensing. And when you put your head on the table, as I say again, you just realize there's a little more Christ in me than when I got up this morning. You just have the sense, because it was another dispensing day. Just consider, imagine a little bit in a normal way. If every day from now to the end of this year, every morning, you turn your heart to him, exercise your spirit, and just say, Lord, I'm an open vessel. Please dispense today's measure today. There will be much more Christ in you when we have a training here in 6 months. More Christ in all of us. So the God who was once objective to us has become our subjective reality. All of you, it's so clear, you're an open vessel right now. It's why, as you're listening, you're receiving. And there will be more subjective reality taking place within you. I would say before the time you fall asleep tonight. And tomorrow will be another dispensing day. K.E. We are in him who is true. We are in the true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. We not only know God, we are in God. We not only have the knowledge of him, we are also in an organic union with him. I'm repeating. I wouldn't say it's a mistake. Maybe this kind of repeating is helpful. We are one with him organically. Now, point three is very precious. No longer are we outside the true. And no longer are we outside the Son of God. No longer are we outside of the true. We are no longer outside His Son, Jesus Christ. And now this next point is, I don't know how this, it's just so delightful. I say again, when John says that we are in the true one, he is making a crucial point. Not only do we know the true one, and not only do we experience, enjoy, and possess him as the divine reality, but we are in this reality, we are in the true one. Okay, now, brother, starting with not only, please read it all together out loud, then we'll have the sisters do it. Not just with something different, but to open your being at this very moment. Okay, brothers.
Not only do we know the true one, and not only do we experience the joy of possession and the divine reality, but we are in this reality. We are in the true one.
Amen. Now listen to the sisters, okay? Go, sisters. In the true one.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. To be in the true God is to be in his Son, Jesus Christ. Since Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is the embodiment of God, to be in him is to be in the true God. This indicates that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the true God. Some might want to argue, not from you, but others, well, how can you say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the true God? Well, objectively, in the Godhead, there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Spirit. But in God's economy and in the experience, they are one, experientially. So that is why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the true God, because when you were saved and you called on the Lord and you realize Christ as the Spirit entered into you, but the Father, the Son, and Spirit are distinct, but they're not separated. So when the Son came in, the Father and the Spirit came in. So you were triune God person. Yeah. Whether we say that to be in the true one is to be in his Son, Jesus Christ, or we are in the true one by virtue of being in Jesus Christ, the outcome is the same, and the meaning is actually the same. In other words, you say this or you say that regarding what's on the outline, well, don't worry about it. The two are one. We are in the true one by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. But we should just pause this for a few seconds. Being in Jesus Christ. This is still almost hard to grasp. It's so marvelous. I just love to say it again and again. Right now, Christ is on the throne, praying for all of us. Christ is right here in the meeting, in the center, because he said at the end of Matthew, I will be with you wherever you are, every day, and Christ is in us. And when Christ is in us, the Father and the Spirit are within us, and the True One is in us, this is beyond words. So we are in the True One by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, G, this is the true God and eternal life. Now this may sound rather strange, but we're going to spend a couple of minutes with the word this. I'm so glad that Brother Lee examined what this means. And I can just touch on it in an open way. We need to pay attention to the word this. John uses this to refer both to the true God and to eternal life. By this, we see that the true God and eternal life are one. Doctrinally, the True One and His Son Jesus Christ may be considered two. Yeah, doctrinally. But when we are in the True One and in Jesus Christ experientially, they are one. We have the three in us. But none of us had the feeling, I have three. We have one. But the Father is there, the Son is there, the Spirit is there. Don't try to understand it. Just thank the Lord, praise Him, and be happy. Okay? So that's why doctrinally they're one way, experientially another way. Four, for this reason, John uses this to refer both to the True One and to His Son, Jesus Christ. In our experience of being in the true God and in Jesus Christ, they are one. Again, in our experience of being in the true God, we are in the true God. We are in Jesus Christ. In our experience, we had the feeling, the sense, they are one. Next, we need a clear vision what this in 1 John 5:20 refers to. Well, let's look at the next 8 points, find out. The word this refers to the very God who has become experiential to us through our being in Him. When we are in the True One, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, they become one to us. Therefore, John says that this is the true God, and this is eternal life. This is the very God and the very Jesus Christ in whom we are. This includes the condition of our being in God and Jesus Christ. Hence, the true God and eternal life include our being in the true one and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in our experience, this true one becomes the true God, and Jesus Christ becomes eternal life. And just pausing for a moment, these five statements are very enlightening. And you will be developing in it until you're raptured. The words are so clear, but it will be one level after another. Okay, 6, 7, 8. This includes the fact of our being in the true God and eternal life. We know that we are in the true God and in eternal life because we are in the true one and in his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to deliberately read that again. We know. Okay, we not just hope or think. We know that we are in the true God. We know that we are in eternal life because we are in the true one and in his Son, Jesus Christ. The true one and Jesus Christ are in us, and we are in the true one and Jesus Christ. When we are in the true one and Jesus Christ, this, including the fact that we are in them, is the true God. And now the completion of this message and the 12 messages, but in a very simple way. And I'm glad to end this way. The true God becomes our experience as eternal life. Okay? The true God becomes our experience as eternal life. This is the basic factor of John's verse epistle. In 1 John, we have the enjoyment of the triune God as eternal life. When we are in the true God, he becomes eternal life to us. And let me finish this way by asking you, all of you, to read together this way. When I am in the true one, he becomes eternal life in me. Okay, all together. When
I am in the true God, he becomes eternal life in me.
So now for 30 seconds, praying about being in the true God and in eternal life. Then a brother will show us what's happening next.